Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Ben Klube, CEO of Energy Pathways, following two major announcements that could reshape the UK's approach to energy storage and decarbonisation. Energy Pathways has signed a key technology agreement with Siemens Energy for its flagship MESH project, a pioneering offshore energy system integrating compressed air, hydrogen and natural gas storage, and also inked a strategic MOU with Hazer Group to develop a UK-first clean hydrogen and synthetic graphite facility. Welcome back to the podcast, Ben.
Hi, good to be back.
Yeah, so just tell us more about this recent engagement with Siemens, please.
We're pleased to have announced an engagement with Siemens Energy to support us on the MESH project. And what Siemens Energy bring to the table, they are basically global leaders in the energy transition space in integrated energy solutions. And what they'll be doing with us is developing the commercial technical development design of the MESH facility as it relates to compressed air technologies, flexible power capacity, and as well as long duration energy storage solutions associated with compressed air. So the MESH project is going to be able to essentially harness and capture excess wind power that the UK will be generating. The value of that is at scale, according to the government. So by 2030, we're looking at the UK wind generating capacity producing or generating in excess of £6 billion of curtailed wind energy, which is just wasted wind. What we're looking to do is harness that in our long duration energy storage, compressed air systems, and then deliver that as a dispatchable, flexible power generation, which will be low carbon in nature. And that's another area that the UK is going to be short of, or is short of, is flexible generating capacity. Again, the UK's government's estimates of just capacity costs by 2030 is in the order of £4 billion. So we're looking to essentially harness much of that wasted costs of the future energy landscape through our system and deliver affordable energy solutions for the UK consumer.
Indeed, yeah. And we're also joined by resident analyst and financial writer Charles Archer, who penned a recent detailed piece on why MESH could become the UK's most important long-term energy infrastructure project. So Charles, I'll hand the floor to you.
Yeah, well, it must be very exciting to have Siemens sign up. Like, this is obviously a massive tier one company. But yeah, basically, I've written this article. We've had these two kind of RNSs. I guess the first question is going to be, we're waiting for that license to come in. Do we reckon that's going to be in the near to midterm? Is that something you can comment on now? I guess launching straight in.
Well, I think with the Siemens Energy announcement, I think the rationale for the UK government to support the MESH project and see it put in place to meet its ambitious goals for 2030, very strong. And so, you know, we're very hopeful that the government will proceed when issue the gas storage license, which is the license application that is live and under consideration with the government.
I guess the thing is, it's about with the MESH project, it's a next gen energy super hub, right? So a lot of projects kind of fall down because they only solve one or two problems. With MESH, you've got the offshore natural gas storage, obviously in the depleted gas fields. You've got the hydrogen production and storage in the salt caverns, the compressed air energy storage, the clean ammonia and synthetic graphite production, and then the low carbon power generation. So the hydrogen ready turbines, potentially fuel cells in the future. And so you have this situation where on the political scale, you almost certainly have read that Centrica is, you know, threatening to close down the Rough storage facility later on this year. And, you know, and what will that do to the energy storage in the UK? And would that actually help you and your investment case, or does it hurt, I guess?
Look, I think the imperative of, to answer your final point there, is gas storage is definitely part of the UK's future energy mix. And with Centrica essentially cautioning it's going to shut down the Rough gas storage facility, which accounts for over half of the UK's meagre gas storage capability, It's going to put the UK energy system under, I would suggest, great stress. It leaves the country with only 6 days of storage gas supply in the system. And the UK gas storage capability compares, unfavorably to other countries. It's got a mere, effectively about a tenth of that of
Yeah,
countries such as France and Netherlands and Germany and Italy.
they're all around a 3 month mark, aren't they? Most of them. Yeah.
So from an energy independence, energy security point of view, with Centrica's Rough dropping out of the market, so to speak, there is a critical need from a security independence point of view just to bolster the UK's gas storage capability. Now, Mesh clearly can deliver that. The size of the Mesh gas storage facility will be approximately equivalent in size to Rough. So it's a sizable facility that we're developing. But to go back to your original point, which is Mesh offers much more than gas storage. It offers an array of energy storage and flexible energy supply solutions to the UK that are decarbonised. And quite rightly, the government correctly sees the energy transition as an integrated exercise, and where integrated solutions are required. And as you've pointed out, many projects maybe struggle to progress because when it's just one piece of the jigsaw puzzle, they can be hard to move forward. But really, it needs to be all dealt with in an integrated manner, and we're very essentially pleased with the way the government views energy transition, and that integrated solutions is the way to tackle the problem.
Like with Siemens, obviously, the idea is to, what they're looking at is to assess these technical commercial options, right? So, how to integrate into the grid, potentially laying that groundwork for detailed modeling and the design. But I guess the question is, what specifically are they going to be doing beyond what the RNS says? What's technically, what are they up to? I guess maybe you can't dumb it down for us, but maybe you can.
Well, look, Siemens are a leading energy provider for the UK and globally, but key areas of capability include they're obviously a leader in wind turbines. They are a leader in compression and turbine systems as it relates to gas, and that includes compressed air as well as hydrogen. They are a leading force in transition of that technology into hydrogen utilization, and they are also a leading force in integrated systems and energy management systems, which is the part that brings all of this together, which is predictive management of different energy systems to optimize and deliver low cost energy. So Siemens are the leading force in this space, and they'll help with the design of the mesh so we can pull all these various arms together.
Well, the National Energy System Operator, NESO, which is relatively new, Quango in the government, Quango body of government, they just recently flagged that long-duration energy storage is essential for balancing the growing share of renewables in the power system. I mean, the government's policy, whether you agree with it or not, is to shift towards renewables, and yet we don't have the long-duration energy storage. And it seems that sort of every other week, it feels to me, there's a new body in the government saying we need to sort out the storage issue. And yet, here you are with a project with Siemens now underpinning it and bringing forth a feasibility study. It seems to me that is there anybody else potentially who could provide that storage, or is it just you guys in the UK?
We don't object to other people being in this space, but long duration energy storage is a critical part of the jigsaw, a puzzle to resolve. As you've rightly said, NESO see it as a massive part that needs fixing. And just to be clear here, the issue comes from the large scale up of renewable power or wind power principally, and when the wind blows, supply will exceed demand, and so mechanisms to store that, but store it in over long periods of time is key. Now, battery energy storage systems, they can contribute to this challenge, but it's in a very limited way in that the UK's average storage duration for battery energy storage systems is, I believe it's 1.4 hours. So there's not much stored supply that can come from these systems. So NESO is really looking for solutions that last for multi hours, multi days. And that's what Mesh can deliver, is a multi-day long duration energy storage system, which provides a flexible, dispatchable output when needed. And actually, importantly as well, in a renewables dominated grid, other services which are growing of growing demand, things such as inertia, a frequency response, voltage support, can be provided from mesh being a turbine driven dispatchable power system.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, you've sold it to me. It becomes difficult to ask these questions because we have all of the answers. But, just to give people listening a perspective about Siemens, I think it's a 75 billion euro company. It generates around one sixth of the electricity across the entire world based on its technology and around 100,000 employees. So this is a huge, partnership. But on top of that, I mean, we know we have a FTSE 100 potential financial backer that we can't name yet. But then Wood Group is also involved. And then, to be honest, I've got to the point now where the list of people involved at a much higher level than, 10 million pound microcap is becoming longer and longer and longer. And I guess the question is, at what point do you say, well, all of these people are backing the project? All of these companies are saying this is something that the UK needs and that we're, positive on. And that you as CEO is, sitting there maybe pulling your hair out saying, why is the government kind of, it feels like it's dragging its heels.
Well, look, from a sort of national interest point of view, there is an urgency. There are ambitions to get to clean power outcomes by 2030, and the building blocks need to be put in place to get there. And so the sooner that the government provides us with the appropriate licensing, then the sooner we can get this project to deliver clean energy outcomes and affordable energy outcomes for the UK consumers. And we're looking forward to get on with it.
Right, okay, so a couple of weeks ago, the government released a new plan to kickstart onshore wind the onshore wind revolution, right? And they're talking about unlocking up to 10 gigawatts of onshore wind, repowering old turbines across the country, hundreds of millions going into it, equipping planners and developers with the tools needed to build more wind farms. And you're sitting there, and well, I anyway, and saying, well, the wind farms that we currently have, we produce electricity that we can't store, or we have to turn them off. So how can they be funding massive new wind farms if the ones we already have aren't effective enough for generating electricity without the storage? It does seem like it's not joined up thinking.
The problem's definitely going to get worse. So, as new wind generating capacity, which is being subsidised, gets brought into the market, the ability of that energy to get into the market is going to be restricted, not just due to grid constraints, but also due to demand constraints, because the targeted capacity of the UK wind by 2030 is the ambition is to get to 90 gigawatts of capacity. And demand levels roughly around about 30 gigawatts. So you can tell from that there's a massive mismatch between supply and demand when the wind blows. And getting money, getting value for that excess wind, which is essentially all paid out in curtailments, costs that are passed on to the consumer, getting some value out of that is a critical objective for anyone viewing the UK's energy landscape.
In terms of consumer bills, and obviously, I think we've got, well, I don't think I know we've got the highest energy bills in the developed world in the UK at the moment, and that's probably a big part of the reason why we're in a bit of a financial mess. But in terms of just on your consumer bill, do you think the Mesh project has the capacity to help, on personal bill? Will it reduce personal gas energy bills, or do you think that's it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, because of that curtailment cost and that growing curtailment cost, and with a strategy where much of the dispatchable power generation is met or it can is needs to be supported by a completely separate dispatchable power generating capacity in the form of unabated gas power gen, you're running it's the cost of running two systems. So, what Mesh really does, or part of what it does, is it connects and harnesses that curtailment cost and then reuses that energy in a dispatchable form when it's needed. So, it's operating effectively as one system as opposed to two entirely separate systems.
Interesting, interesting. I mean, again, you'd think the political impetus would be there, but apparently not. Yeah, I mean, I'm almost out of questions here. Go on, go for it.
Ben, you're sounding like a politician. I don't know whether that's insulting or not, based on the fact that the politicians are not making any bloody decisions. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how frustrated are you that they can't get their act
I'm not going to answer it on a scale of 1 to 10, but what I'm
together?
going to say is I think actually the UK is leading in many ways in a policy framework. This is a tough framework. I do think, in our case, it's slow, but policy needs to evolve, and it seems clear to me that we've got the right solution for the UK, and we just encourage the government to support Mesh with issuing licenses so we can deliver.
That was another very politically correct answer. Well done,
It's that this is the problem with it, though, isn't it?
I would when you get the license, I want to hear the truth
Once the signature's in, he can let go.
you.
But it's the problem, isn't it? Because it feels like everything is in place, and we just need the signature. And you're just sort of waiting on a government that just. I mean, here's a classic one. The June borrowing stats are out, and I use about pretty much the highest borrowing in a June for about 1,000 years is what it pretty much looks like. And you're sitting there going, well, the reason why is the tax is too high, the spending is too high. And then you have obvious solutions like this that are just waiting to go with private finance, ready to fund it. And all they have to do is sign a signature and we're done. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I do. It just feels like the common sense approach just doesn't seem to be in Westminster at the moment. But eventually, you're going to have enough evidence that it's just going to happen. I mean, if you look at like the timeline, August 2024, when we first started talking, got a major tier one engineering companies interested in energy pathways. October 24, the NSTA and Department for Net Zero started consulting on the hydrogen storage business model. December 2024. Operatorship license for the Marin gas field. And then in March, you presented the Mesh project to the OE UK Share Fair, right? An event sponsored by the NSTA. And then Energy Pathways started applying for half free in the climate change levy RNS. So, eventually they're going to have to come round. But in terms of the corporate progress, you must be pretty pleased with the last 12 months.
Yeah, look, we're very pleased with how things are progressing. We're very pleased with the support that we're getting from major companies who see the strong value proposition that we've created with the Mesh project, and we're looking forward to other companies and stakeholders supporting the project. So we're the recent announcement that we've made with Hazer and KBR Technology. We think is a fantastic opportunity for the UK in terms of reindustrializing the UK. It will be the country's essentially first synthetic graphite production capability, as well as clean ammonia capability. And again, these things are they create jobs, they create value, and it'll be cost competitive against imports. So, we're really excited about being a major part of the UK's energy transition.
Yeah, last question for me, and this is kind of one maybe for the local MP up there. How many jobs do you think this project will create in the local area once you're fully up and running?
Well, direct employment will,
Direct, yeah.
yeah, through the employment, through the development phase, we're very much into the hundreds, and with these bolt-ons, it's going to increase. So we think we're going to have a significant impact on growth and employment opportunities, in particular in the northwest section, and also for the existing offshore community and workforce that the UK has got top level experience in.
Wonderful, Ben. Lovely, lovely to chat to you. Care of
Yeah.
anything else?
Ben, just one last question. The ammonia and the graphite, if you were running this project and you had just ammonia and graphite, no gas, no storage, no anything else, is it viable based on the fact that you've got a £7 million cap?
Yeah, is it commercially viable? Yes, no, the production of clean ammonia and clean graphite through the mesh approach and using Hazer and the KBR technologies, absolutely. It is a much more cost-effective means of producing the core product here, which is clean hydrogen versus green hydrogen processes. It's probably a quarter of the cost, according to our estimates. And also competitive against blue hydrogen combined with CCS. So absolutely, this is going to be competitive. And furthermore, in the UK, transition sort of policy mix. Ammonia is something is a commodity that is subject to carbon border adjustment mechanism tariffs, so it will be very competitive against imported ammonia, which is essentially how the UK can sources its ammonia.
And on the quantity that you're likely to produce in the short term, you know, just the start of the project, what sort of revenues are likely from that on an annualized basis? The ammonia and the graphite. Even just a ballpark, I can't
We're
do
going to be
math.
into the hundreds of millions of revenue.
Okay, so it's going to be hundreds of millions of revenue with what sort of gross profit on those type of things? Is it 50%? Is it 20%? Is it 80%? Is it, you know, just give us a ballpark. I'm not
There's a lot
trying
of
to put you on the
moving there's
spot. I
a
just
well there's a lot of moving parts to exactly what the revenue stream is going to be, but suffice to say that the hydrogen production from a mesh applying the HAZER and KBR technologies will be meet the criteria of the hydrogen allocation round government financial support system. And so therein lies a part of the commercial benefit of the way we're going about manufacturing clean hydrogen.
So there's a good potential you could get some grants to do this as well, obviously. That's what you're saying.
Indeed, exactly
Yeah.
right.
Okay. Okay, I'll not put you on the spot anymore.
Okay, well, on that note, yeah, we'll just say obviously Ben Klube and Charles Archer, you know, thanks for appearing back on the podcast.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.